This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Coming up, the U.S. Army prepares for wars of the future. But first, in Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai is trying to get regional military commanders to send money to the central government, tax money, customs, and limited industrial revenue. Karzai is trying to put together a functioning national budget for the cash-starved new government. A much-needed source of income, for instance, is one of Afghanistan's only functioning factories. Outside the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif, a rundown factory turns out chemical fertilizer 24 hours a day. The problem is the factory's revenue goes into the pockets of local warlords. Employees haven't been paid in months, and they're calling on the central government for help. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Rival warlords Rashid Dostum and Atta Muhammad agree on little, but they seem to have come to an agreement that the Mazar-e-Sharif fertilizer factory is their personal 24-hour-a-day cash machine. Built in the early 1970s with Soviet money and engineering, Mazar Fertilizer Plant runs nonstop year-round. And these days, it's dangerously decrepit. Rusted pipes leak and belch steam, and the stench of ammonia vapor is so heavy in some areas, it's almost unbearable. You feel a burning sensation in your eyes and lungs. No one here is wearing any protective masks or clothing. Engineer Raufi is the factory's deputy director.
Sometimes we have to leave the area. It is so dangerous. There is harmful gas everywhere. We should wear safety masks, but the ones we have are so old and they don't work anymore. Every day our workers risk death.
It's very dangerous to work without a mask in a toxic environment. Is there anything else you can do about that?
All the money is taken by the military men. And we haven't been paid in months. There is no money for safety masks or basic repairs. Maybe foreign countries can give us safety masks or spare parts for our machines.
The Mazar factory underscores the kind of medieval spoils system still in place throughout much of Afghanistan. The factory's revenue scheme might make even an Enron accountant blush. Managers here say warlords Atta and Dostum simply take 35% of the factory's gross income for themselves and their armies. Employees say lower commanders take 10%. And the remaining 20%, well, no one's really sure where that goes. Lately, it certainly hasn't gone into the pockets of the factory's 3,000 workers. Saeed Hasim has worked here since the plant opened with great Soviet fanfare in 1974. I haven't been paid in 3 or 4 months, he says. You know, you do what you can to get by. At least the Taliban paid us on time. The forlorn factory was kept running 24 hours a day throughout years of war. Sometimes an army would shell us, one worker says. Luckily, they never hit the buildings. They just kept on working. We had proper work shoes during the communist time, another worker says wistfully, as his sandal-clad feet sit ankle-deep in white fertilizer. A huge spout fills giant sack after sack of fertilizer and plops it on a conveyor belt. General Dostum is out of the country getting medical care, but one of his top commanders, General Majid Rozi, denies there's any corruption. Asked about military officials who take their cut from the factory and customs fees, General Rozi is dismissive. That's propaganda, the general says. There's no corruption here. All the money's accounted for in the local banks. All the money has to be signed for. How could people steal, he asks. Dostum's rival, General Atta Muhammad, is a little more forthcoming. Atta claims he's in favor of reforming northern Afghanistan's shaky revenue collection and accounting system. All the money from customs, from the factory, should be collected and sent to the central government, Atta says, sitting in his air-conditioned office. Quote, the money needs to be taken out of the pockets of commanders. When asked if he'd give up his own take on the factory, Atta says, if others are willing to go along with that, I will too. But workers here are not optimistic the generals will change all by themselves. While hardly known for speaking out, many employees seem emboldened by the prospect of a strong central government finally asserting some influence over the factory. Karzai and the Kabul government should pay the military men their salaries and cut their ties to the fertilizer factory, Engineer Raufi says. Then we could pay our workers, repair the place, and maybe be more productive. Raufi then covers his nose and mouth with his hand to block the smell and leads his visitors toward the exit. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Mazar-e-Sharif.